I want to begin this last halacha share of the semester, once again thanking the Rozanskis for the hospitality and thanking all of you for coming. We're mid over of Shechter Shir, which is general topics in Kashrus, and there's one element of our Shechter Shir that I don't think we gave enough airtime to in the previous Chazar Shir, so let's begin with that. The Shach in Yeridei is Simin Pei Sivkot and Aleph. The Shach tells us that he's not going to elaborate on the dinim of Achaya, what's considered Achaya in terms of the horns and how rounded the horns are, whether the horns are hollow or not hollow. The Shach says that he's not going to deal with these issues because since we only use Kivan de Ein Lanu Elamashi Kibaunu b'mesora kimogabe simani ha'ok, since we only have those things that we have a mesora on, so effectively the simanim are not important. Just like we have by simani ha'of, says the Shach, that we only eat birds with a mesora, so also here what? So this is the big machlokes. The Prima Godim understands that what the Shach means is that it's usher to eat the chaylev of a chaya without a mesora. We know that there are two differences between a chaya and a behemah. Both chaya and behemah, the simanim for kashrus are mefreses parasa and malagera, that they have split hooves and they chew their cud. But the difference is that a chaya, the dam requires kisui, behemah, the dam does not require kisui. A chaya, also the chaylev is mutter, behemah, the chaylev is aser. Right, we saw chaylev with Rabben Chayim. So now, the Prima Gadim says that the pshat and the shach is, in order to be matir, the chaylev of the animal, you need a mesora. But avad, you could eat the animal without a mesora, just you'd also have to refrain from the chaylev, and presumably you would have to do kisui misafig. That's what the shach is saying, according to the Prima Gadim. The chaya odim, however, in klal lamed vav, ois aleph, says, Lefisha einanu ochlim elamasha kibaunu b'masores me'avoseinu, imkein osanu lechom nachayos chutz min hatzvi. The chaya odam is saying that we're not only talking about the chaylev, but we can't eat any chaya besides tzvi. Now, the chaya odam does not say anything about behemah. This is a point, actually, I want to ask Rav Shechter. The Chaya Adam is only saying about Chayas. The Chayas, in order to eat the animal, you need a Mesorah. This is different than the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says, in order to eat the Chaylev, you need a Mesorah. The Chaya Adam is saying, in order to eat the animal, you need a Mesorah. But what about the Zibu? What about a behemah? Do you need a Mesorah on a behemah? Ledaiti, I'm not convinced that the Chaya Adam is really saying that you need a Mesorah on the behemah. Again, you could look at the Chaya Adam yourself. If you want to look at the Chazon Ish, it's in Simen Yud Aleph Os Dalid, where the Chazon Ish has a few tainas on the Prima Gadim. He thinks that the Prima Gadim is not learning correct pshat in the Shach, and then he says, and the Chochmas Adam has been accepted by the Jews in Litta, and therefore that's the minhag that we only eat behema and chaya with the Mesorah.
The Chochmas Adam.
Well, it's the same person. It's Chochmas Adam. It's a saving Yeriday. I'm sorry. It's the Chochmas Adam in Klal Lamed Vav. Rav Levinger, in his Sefer Mazon Kasher Min HaChayim, page 23, he says that most poskim agree with the Prima Gadim's reading of the Shach, not like the Chazon Ish. He also points out a very interesting thing, which I think is very suggestive. The Torah mentions a few behemoths that are kasher. Shar, Seichvasim, V'Seizim. Those are kasher behemoths. Right? Shar, sheep, and goats. What about chayas? Which chayas, which wild animals are kosher? So Torah has six of them, no? Ayol, Tzvi, Yachmar, Ako, Dishon, Ta'o, and Zomer. We don't know what any of these are, really. We know what Ayol and Tzvi are. We know these are a gazelle and a deer. We don't know what the Yachmar, Ako, Dishon, Ta'o, and Zomer are. Zok, the Ibn Ezra, interestingly, on that pasuk in Devarim Yudalim, the Ibn Ezra says that we know Ayol and Tzvi, v'hachamisha acherim tzrichim kabbalah. I get the impression that the Ibn Ezra is saying also that only Chaya requires a kabbalah, not behema. The shaila really about the zibu that Rav Shechter addressed in the shir, the whole story with Rav Herzog, and they trying to aser the zibu based on the chazon ish, and now bezman hazeh the zibu should for sure be kosher because we know that it breeds with a shar, that shar para, same thing. So the fact is, I'm not 100% sure. In Svara, I can't really think of a difference why chaya should be different than behema. But the fact is, if you read the Makoros carefully, I think the original Makoros are only saying that Chaya requires a Masorah, not a Behema. Okay, let's talk about enzymes for a minute. This is the complicated part of Rav Shechter's shiur. Lemaisa, it's not as complicated as it would seem. It might be kedai to look at Simon Chaf Zayin in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, where Rav Shechter addresses enzymes. And Michael Bleicher also gave me this page, which you can all borrow if you want and photocopy. If you need, I can tell you my photocopy number so that we can save a few dollars on your cards. But if you want to copy it, the Shaila about enzymes, the OU Tshuva that Michael Bleicher showed me is right over here. What's the story with enzymes? So, the basic story is like this. An enzyme is a microorganism, right? A microorganism is technically an animal that grows on some medium. Now, the fact is that the halacha does not seem to consider the microorganisms as being very significant. Let me explain. One of the reasons why Gevinas Akum is asar. In fact, one of the reasons that's probably the most accepted reason of halacha is because mamidim oso ba'or kevas nevela. The way you produce cheese is that the rennet, which is an enzyme inside the stomach cavity of an animal, you pour milk in it, and after a while, it's maimed, it makes milk into cheese. And if you do that with or kevas nevela, with the skin from the stomach of a non-kosher animal, of a nevela, so that would be a problem. That would be non-kosher cheese. The Gemara also tells us, and we pass again in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Siman Pei Zayin, but you can be maimed with the milk that was inside the stomach. Let's say a mother had been, let's say there was milk inside the stomach that was hardened, a baby was nursing, let's say, and there's milk inside that baby's stomach, that milk will also have the rennet in it. So if I'm not using the skin of the animal, but I'm using the hardened milk inside the stomach, so that's going to be kosher. Then the cheese is kosher. The shaila is, why does this din make any sense? L'chayre, the fact that you see that I can make cheese by taking the milk that was inside of the stomach and throwing it into a vat of plain milk, right? I could take the curdled milk inside the stomach, throw it into a vat of plain milk, and get cheese out. That shows that it's not the stomach lining itself that's creating the issue. It's the milk inside, or it's the enzyme, we would say, that's inside that creates the cheese. So if that's the case, that cheese is created by the enzyme, why should it be usser if we are being maimed ba'ar kevas nevela? That's the kasha that Rav Shechter asked. And Rav Shechter basically said, yeah, Michael?
Why daf nevela? Isn't it a problem bas b'chalav if they use it?
So that's a kasha that the poskim deal with in Yerideya, the Rimagash, the Shach has a long arichos around this kasha. That's a very strong kasha. How come we're not worried about bas b'chalav? By maimed, we're only worried about an iser machmas atzmo, right? Which bas b'chalav isn't. Bas b'chalav is only an iser machmas, the bliyos machmas the taruvos, it's not an iser machmas atzmo. Why that's true, you have to learn Yerideya for. So now, the issue basically boils down to this. The halacha does not take seriously anything that is not near Ela'ayin. Things which are invisible, the halacha doesn't consider to be significant. Therefore, the microorganisms, according to the halacha, are not viewed as a separate entity because I can't see them. They are viewed as an extension of their face, the extension of what they're growing on. So if they're growing on the or kevas nevela, we view it as an extension of the or hanevela. and therefore we assume that the cheese was created from nevela. But if it's growing on the milk that was inside the stomach, we view it as an extension of the milk, and then the cheese is going to be kosher. That's what Rav Shechter basically argues. He gives a number of examples of this type of idea that we don't break things up into component parts. We only look at what it seems to us. Dam. Right? We know that if you went to give blood today across the street, we know there's white blood cells and red blood cells. Right? Now, the Gemara Nida says that only the red part of the blood is halachically considered blood. The white part of the blood isn't halachically considered blood. Yet, right, if I drink an absolute kezayis, exactly a kezayis mitzumtzum of dam, I'm chayiv. Why? Some of that is white blood cells. The teretz is that kol zman it's mixed together, it all looks red. We assume it's all dino red blood cells. And the same is true in the hagdara of cholav. The same is true in the Hagdara of Yayin. Rav Shechter in this article has many different rayas to this yisod. Kol zman it's all mixed together, we view it like it's one thing. Here also, the microorganisms, even though we know it's technically separate from the Ar Kevas Nevela, but kol zman, that it's connected to the Ar Kevas Nevela, we view it as an extension of the Ar HaNevela. Therefore, I have to treat enzymes, I have to treat microorganisms like the base that they are coming from. And therefore, the product of a microorganism, right, if the microorganism comes from an iser, we have to deal with the fact that what we now have is an iser that changed into something else. I could take an enzyme and I can make ice cream out of cherries. Mashallah ma'adavadayna. Right? You can do all of these crazy Harry Potterish type of transfigurations, right? So now, what's the din of these things? So the din basically is it's considered an iser shenishtane. If I have something that's based on an iser, in our case arkei bas nevela, or in our case yayin nesach, whatever the base of the microorganism is, so then it changes into something else. What's it in if Isser Shinishtana? So there's a machlaikas between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rush in terms of musk. Musk is something that comes from the excretion of a behemoth tmeya. Now, musk, we know you can smell. That's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchos Birchas Hareach. What about if I want to eat musk? Is it mutter? Machlaikas Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah. That's the machlaikas about Isser Shinishtana. Because it's a secretion from a behemoth tmeya. Did it change? Yeah, it changed. Is it still usser? It depends how much it changed, first of all. If it changed only a teeny bit, it's not a real change. Of course, it's the same as it was beforehand. That's not a change at all. But if it's a significant change, if it's a real isser shenishtana, so we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, and Hilchos Birchas Hareach, that by Doraisas were machmir, by Drabbanans were megal. That's the din of isser shenishtana.
Then wouldn't milk from a pig be okay? Because it's the secretion of the pig.
It's a secretion from the pig, so it's an iser shenishtana from an iser da'iraisa.
So there's no din of chalav Yisrael for the...
Well, there is a question in terms of what's considered davar hayotze min ha'asar. Right, that is os vav here in the piece in Be'ikve Hatzon. We know that the Gemara has a special lima that anything that comes out of an iser is considered aser. That's true. Davar hayotze min ha'iser is aser. Enochanami. Why? Because it's coming from an iser d'oraisa. But if something is coming from what would be an iser d'rabbanan originally, let's say I could have cholav akum. That creates something new through an enzyme, right? Cholav akum is only an iser d'rabbanan, so b'kahai gam that would be okay. Right? That's the basic din that emerges. So enzymes, Rav Shechter assumes, are treated like a davar hayotze min ha'iser, which is basically another way of saying iser shenishtana by d'oraisas or machmir by d'rabbanans or meikel by kidney, yes, it should be okay. But if it's real chametz on Pesach, it would be a problem. Now, Rav Shechter quotes quickly in this piece that there are other poskim of a different take on the enzyme mishayla, they view enzymes as behema shenispat mamisuri hana'a. Now, we spoke about that. That was the shayla by Veal. Right? Veal is completely, spends its entire life, and all it eats is basar b'cholov. It's this patma from Yisuri Hana'a. Some Paiskim want to say that that's the din of the enzymes. The enzymes have the same thing as, have the same din as Behemash and this patma. Rav Shechter does not like this mahalach. Rav Shechter wants to say that no. But really, you can't compare it to Isur Shenishtana. You can't compare it to Nispatma. Because we see from Sa'ar and Pesach that Sa'ar of Truma and Sa'ar of Kelai HaKerem is all going to be Asr. So Lamaisa, you don't treat it like a Dover Nifrad. The whole Yisod of Behemash and Nispatma is I have this animal, which is one thing, and it was fattened up by something else. It's fattened up by Yisrei Achila, by Yisrei Hana'a, whatever it is. But Zakt Rav Shechter, we see from all of the rayas that he brought that we don't view these microorganisms like an independent entity. So therefore, I can't apply the principle of Nispatma to it. Nispatma means I have one entity that's fattened from something else. But if it's all the same thing, the din of Nispatma doesn't apply. So this is basically Rav Shechter's approach to enzymes, which is paskin lahalacha by the OU. Okay, any questions about this? No, it's a little complicated. Like, unless you work in the lab, it's hard to know exactly what an enzyme is. But I think this is the way Rav Shechter is saying it.
So Rav Shechter is going to be makel by something that will be an issur rabbanan by this.
Yeah. Yes? Okay, let's move on to Rav Ben Chaim's first shiur. Rav Ben Chaim's first shiur is the shiur he gave in the classroom. Basically, he spoke about Shreifas. He spoke about Yerideya Simin Lamites, which is a simin of Bedikas Hareya, of checking the lungs. Now, checking the lungs, we assume, right, we only check the lungs. We don't check any other of the trephus in the animal. Why? The lungs only? So that's the basic halach of Miyat HaMatzoi that we spoke about a few times. Only things which are assumed to take place a significant minority amount of the time, like 10%, according to the Mishkanus Yankiv. So that is considered a Miyat HaMatzoi, and then you have to check. Now, is this checking Me'ikar Hadin? Is this checking a Minhag? The Vilna Gaon gives us lots of Makoros of being a Simen Lamites that the Bedika for Miyat HaMotzoi is required Me'ikar Hadin. However, the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Shechita Halacha Zayin says that HaMinhag HaPoshut is that they are Bodekes Hareya. You get the impression from the Rambam that the Bedika is only a Minhag, it's not required Me'ikar Hadin. Me'ikar Hadin is Rabbanan,
don't
you know? Me'ikar Hadin would be a Din to Right, that there's a din de rabbanon that you have to check for mir hamotzi. Mina toira achir rabbi mahatos. Mid rabbanon, you have to check. Now, this is very important. This is important because of the next halacha. In Simon Lamites Sif Beis, what happens if I don't check the lungs, but of the hareya, the lungs get lost? You're in the shlachtais, and you check the animal, and the guy has a case of like some wolf coming and taking away the lungs. Right? Or who knows what happened? The lungs aren't here anymore. You can't check them. What's the din? Mechaber says it's mutter. Why? Because the din of Miyat HaMotzi, that's Matzuch HaBedika, is a din to Rabbanan, only if you can do it, or you're mechayiv to do it. If you can do it, and you don't do it, Kol HaPoritz Gadeh Yeshchenu Nachash, right, you have to remove the Shaychet who's not Bodek. But the fact is that if you can't check because the lungs are lost, so it's mutter. The Ramah happens to be Machmir, but the Ramah is Machmir, the Shach points out, only Midrabanon. The Ramah holds also, my Ikar Hadin, once the Behema is Geshachtin, it's Mutter. The only thing is that there's a Din Zerabanon, the Chazal were Matzach Bedika, because Chazal were worried that people might just check the animal and throw the lungs away and get rid of this mitzvah derabbanan, this din derabbanan of checking. So therefore, in order to make sure they don't just throw the lungs away intentionally, the Ramah said, if you can't check the lungs because they're stolen, so midrabanan it's aser. But me'ikar hadin, it's going to be mutar. It's an special gezerah drabban, special issa drabban, the Chazal instituted to make sure that people don't throw the lungs away. Now, the big issue that comes up in checking for lungs is the Mechaber in Se'if Yud says, Hamema'ich biyad, hareza machel treifis liYisrael. Right? After you shuck the animal, we saw the Shochet, he put his hands in, and he rubbed around, feeling for sirchas. Right? And if you find a sircha, so some people have the practice of you rub it with your hand. Says the Mechaber, if you rub it with your hand, you are machel treifis liYisrael. However, the Ramah in Se'if Yud Gimel says, Yesh matirin l'mashesh ha-sirchos ul'ma'ich b'hem. Right? The Ramah says that there's some who are matir, and this is the general practice in our medinos, the Ramah says, and our practice is based on the fact that if it comes off with mishmush dak, with a little bit of movement, then we assume that's not considered a sircha, it's just a rear. It doesn't even rise to the level of an adhesion. Remember, a sircha is those strings that come up on the lungs, either from the unos or from the umos, and they usually are attached to the dofen. Usually the sirchos will be attached to the ribs, right, to the walls of the animal. Sometimes you can have a sircha that goes from one part of the lung to another part of the lung, but generally they'll attach to the rib area. So the halacha is, according to the Ramah, that we are matir be, the standard minhag in Ashkenaz is that we are mema'ich l'sirchos, but the Ramah adds you have to have a lot of Yerushamayim to do this. You have to have a lot of Yerushamayim. It's a big kula, ein limchos biyodam, but you gotta have a lot of Yerushamayim. Now, in our countries, right, by Ashkenazi shchites, not only do we do the Ramah, but we do a lot more than the Ramah. Sometimes the Sheikhs have these traditions that if you have less than three sirchas, they will consider it absolutely glatt. Less than three sirchas that come off with their fingers, they consider glatt. Glatt technically means chalak, smooth, no sirchas. Right? There are some who have a practice, they call it chalak bet yosef, so they have no sirchas. But if you have less than three sirchas, as Ben Chaim said, it's a mamash sheker gamur. Right? I think that was what he said. Right? But less than three, they consider to be glatt. Now,
you know, Ben Chaim thought that was the sheker that have those that have less than three.
I mean, that's the way they label it according to the technique. It's it should be sheker lachora. Right? They're saying it's glatt. It's not glatt. It's not smooth. There are sirchas. Now, even according to the Ramah, that we are mako on the miyuch dak, the mishmush dak, to get rid of the sirchas, this is not true on agolim and other small, other behemoth dakos. Gedoyim, tro'im, and agolim, we are going to be machmir, that they have to be absolutely chalak. So therefore, the shadow really that we're going to deal with now is, are Sfaradim allowed to eat Ashkenazi Shechita? Right, L'chaira? Not. Because Ashkenazim do Sircha checking. You can tell me it says glatt? Yeah, but we know it's a lie. It's not glatt. Yeah, but if it's veal, Rav Ben Chaim said, Sfaradim can eat Ashkenazi veal. What about Nispatma? Right, our other shayla that we have with veal? Well, for Sfaradim it's not a problem, no? Remember, the Rambam Paskin, the Rambam didn't pass away with Chanina ben Antignus in that mission in Temura. The Rambam Paskin, that Behemish in this Patma is going to be Mutter. Taisus said that the Isser is Lahedio. Right? The Rambam Paskin, we don't even Paskin like Chanina ben Antignus in Ingin Kachim, Kosha came the Ingin Achila, it's going to be Mutter. So Svaradim Kadid Ashkenazi Veal. Fine. Now, the Gra paskins like the Mechaber. The Gra says, don't do any of this mishmer stuff to remove sirchas. The Rashba is quoted by the Goyna saying, Kol tabach sha'osekein, misalkin oso. Any sheichet who does this gets removed from being a shochet, because the Gemara never mentions this funny idea of mishmush. It's not found in Gemara, right? The Goyin is into primary sources, not found in the Gemara. Forget about it.
This
is
the Rashba.
Huh? The Goyin quotes the Rashba. Right. Now, so one shaila is a Sfaradi allowed to eat Ashkenazi Shechita? Second shaila, maybe it should be also to drink milk. No? Why? Why should it be also to drink milk? Because according to Sfaradim, if you have a sircha, and the vast majority of animals have some sort of sirchas, only 15% of animals are halak bet yosef, and 15% is pretty high. Right? Some people have numbers much lower than that. But Ben Chaim gave 15%. So that means 85% are treifas, according to Sfaradim. So if 85% of the cows are treifas, so how can you drink milk? That's the kasha that Ben Chaim wanted to deal with in this year. So Zakta Ben Chaim, you have to read carefully. You have to read carefully. The lashon of the Mechaber is, any shaychet who does mishmush ki'ilu machal nevelos. He doesn't say that you're for sure being machal nevelos, it's ki'ilu. He's hedging, right? It's as if. It's a bad thing. It's not really machal nevelos. No safokach. You see, even the Mechaber holds that when it's ne'evda, it's going to be mutter, you follow Raiv. How could that be true? How can the Mechaber paskin that when you lose the lungs, the animal's kosher, you follow Raiv? Raiv is not kosher. Only 15% of Halak Bet Yosef. The Teretz is Zakrav Ben Chaim. The Mechaber didn't mean it. Me'ikar Hadin. The Mechaber meant that it's some sort of chumra. Me'ikar Hadin. It's going to be okay, even according to the Mechaber. Now, there's one other snifla hakel over here. Let's just talk about the other snifla hakel, which is there's one kula that the Mechaber has in Bedikas Hareya that the Rama does not have, which is that if you have a sircha vidofen sos masa, right, you have a sircha, one of these adhesions, and the basar on the rib covers it up, so the Mechaber says kasher. The Rama says, not kasher, unless it will come off with mishmushtak. So now, that's an additional suffix. Even if an Ashkenazi finds a sircha, but the Ashkenazi is going to maybe assume that, you know, this sircha is a problem. But for a Sfaradi who says the sircha is a problem, it could be the sircha that the basar is sos masa. So that's another snifla hakel, why it's mutter for Sfaradim to eat Ashkenazi meat, Rabbi Chaim said, and why it's mutter for Sfaradim to drink milk.
What?
Because who says, just because it's a sircha, that means it's going to be treif, according to the Mechaber. It could be it's a sircha, basar sos masa, which is kosher, according to the Mechaber.
How does it follow from the kula of the Mechaber here?
How does it fall from the kula of
Mechaber here about the meat growing over the sircha?
No, because the Mechaber is not saying that every single sircha is automatically treif. The Ashkenazim are finding a lot of sirchas, which the Mechaber says is kosher, kosher gummery, don't do anything to it. You don't even need mishmush. Even if it won't come off with mishmush, it's going to be fine. Now, the Maisa, this question of the sircha with the dofen sos masa, we said the Mechaber is mekel, the Rama is machmir. The Minigan Litta was to be mekel on this. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Chaf Gimel, he says that even though Rov HaMakomos Nahagu Ke Ramah, but in his city of Nevardik, they pass him like the Mechaber because the Goyin, the Shagas Arye, and the Goyin, the Galya Masechta, both felt the Galya Masechta was the Rav in Nevardik. Right? With Dovidol Narvardika. And here's the Rav in Nevardik before the Aruch HaShulchan. So he said that it's going to be kosher. He said that the Minig in Nevardik was to follow the Mechaber Lahakel. Now, let's talk for two more minutes about removing these sirchas. Rama says the only thing you can do is remove it with mishmashtak. A little bit of movement, right? You need a lav yirashamayim. But there are bigger kulas than that even. The Prima Godim quotes that there was a minhag of certain sheikhtim that they would grow their nails long and they would cut them off with their nails. Cut off the sirchas with their nails. Prima Godim gets very upset about this. The Chassam Sofer says, I used to be very upset about this, but then I found a tshuva of Reb Sender Shur, who's the author of the Tfu Ashar. The Tfu Ashar is like the standard book that sheikhtim use. And he says, he defends the practice. He says that if you cut it off with your fingernail, and then you blow it up, and you put water on it, and it doesn't bubble, so it's kosher lagamri. That's very important. That's very, very important. Right, so there's a minhag that some sheikhtim do still, that they mamish cut off the sirchas. The teimanim have even a bigger minhag, a bigger kula. They take a sharp knife, and they cut off the sircha. They say if there's no hole there, it's going to be kosher. Now, l'maisa, it goes like this. What's the reason why a sircha should be a problem? There's a huge machlokes between Rashi and Taisa throughout Eilu Treifas. Is the pshat that every sircha means that there's a nekev in the lung, and the sircha is covering the nekev? Or is it the pshat that not that the sircha is covering the nekev, but there's a chshash that there's a nekev? It's not definitely that there's a nekev, there's a suffix nekev. That's a big machlokes Rashi and Taisvis. In a situation that you can remove the sircha and there's no hole in the lung, so one of two things happen. Either you assume that it can't be a problem because it's only a problem if there was a hole, and if there's no hole, it's okay. Or you assume that there was a hole, but the hole got filled in and it used to be a treifa, now somehow became kosher because it grew back in later. In treifa chazer sachshera, I don't know. Okay? So basically, the goal of Rav Ben Chaim Shir was to be make on Sfaradim to drink milk, right? And to be make on Sfaradim to eat Ashkenazi Shchita, based on Nevda Hareya, based on the fact that a Sircha that is Samach to the Dauphin, to the Basar, on the Dauphin is going to be okay. Those are the kulas that you can be mitzarif for a Sfaradi to drink Ashkenazi milk, or to eat Ashkenazi Shchita, b'diavad. Any questions?
Sorry, I'm assuming that for the meat covering, the sircha, the Ashkenazim would have been able to do mishmash on that one as well, right?
Right.
Because otherwise, they would still eat it. They wouldn't be around.
Well, Sfaradim might hold that the buzzer and the dolphin is sosing that nekev, and that's machshir that nekev. Even though Ashkenazim might hold that that isn't sosing the nekev, but Sfaradim might hold that's okay.
I'm saying, but it has to be that that was removable for Ashkenazim, otherwise the meat that comes up
would be
thrown out already by Ashkenazim.
Okay. Okay, maybe. Yeah. Rav Ben Chaim is actually very controversial in the Sephardi community because of this. Because Rav Ben Chaim holds that you don't need Chalak Bet Yosef, really. A lot of the Sephardim are... Ben Chaim is a big gun. But a lot of the people are not so convinced that he's right about this. But this is the shir that he gave. Yeah.
Shouldn't it be a question also if everyone besides... Besides the Teimanim can eat their Shechita, and I'm saying when people have more and more Kula, shouldn't be everyone to going down categorically if they can eat the Shechita?
That's right.
So this Rebbe Chaim is matir all of these things from this or just as far
no,
as...
No, he's talking about Mega Ashkenazi. I don't know if he'd be matir Teimanim or Shechita, and then I don't know.
Meaning, in Nasir Teimanim, basically, most people would hold don't eat Teimanim.
Again, I don't know enough to talk about this intelligently.
Is there any problem with Ashkenazim eating Sephardi like that?
Yes, that's a shiloh. What about Ashkenazim being Sephardi Shechita? Do you have to be worried about that one case when the Sephardim are going to be meiko on a sircha next to the dolphin and the basar dolphin sosimasa? So apparently that never happens. It's very rare that that comes up. And it's a significant sircha. Most of those cases, the sircha would come off with mishmashdak anyway, which would be kosher. Me'ikar hadin for Ashkenazim. Rabbi Chaim mentioned that...
So it wouldn't be that.
The issue with, you know, some of the shchitos that have less of a reputation is this point. First of all, does the shulchan have enough yirashamayim to know what's considered mishmashdak? Second of all, the speed of the shchita, it's so fast that it's really hard to assume that they're doing things properly, right? There are issues with the malicha in some of these companies as well. This is not pashut. Okay. Now, Rav Ganak gave the next year. Rav Ganak the basic point of Hashir was to say over the Rav Zalambis and Hilchos Shechita. But in the context of doing that, we also discussed agriprocessors a bit. Okay, so let's talk about just some of the Rav Zalambis and Hilchos Shechita. Very quickly, Shechita, Mitzvah, Shechita, Matim, Achlekes Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam Minyan HaMitzvah says that there's a mitzvah to Shecht. The Ravid says, Amar Avram, Ein Lo Tam, V'ulai Lav HaBamechlal HaSeiz and HaSei. Right? The Ravid says that no, it's not a mitzvah to Shecht, it might be a Lav HaBamechlal HaSeiz. The Machlekes Rambam and Ravid, when there's a mitzvah to Shecht, L'chora has something to do with what is the lomdus of Shechita. Is Shechita the pshat that when I do this mice, I remove it from Eivor Menachai? That L'chora would be purging something from Eivor Menachai. Or maybe the dvarad of Shechita is that the Torah wants you to do this thing in this way, and when you do it this thing in this way, then you add heter to the animal. Right, that's a shaila, effectively, is Shechita considered a chalos or not? Is Shechita that I am creating a chalos, that this animal now becomes kosher? Or is Shechita not a chalos and I'm creating, you're just removing an iser? That might be the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. This would be based on the fact that the Rambam, when he counts mitzvahs, the Rambam doesn't count a mitzvah as something I'm supposed to do, but mitzvah means an inyan in the Torah. Something that's a desired thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, or something that, for example, gerushin is a mitzvah, right? No one's going to tell you that you're supposed to be kind of tayyag mitzvahs and divorce your wife. Right? The idea is that there's an inyan in the Torah. The Torah says this is the proper procedure for doing it, and that's considered a mitzvah. It could be it's also going to be more than that. It could be there's also a chalos involved, that by me shechting, I'm creating heter. It's not just that the heter comes memela because I removed the Eivor Menachai status, but I am creating the heter. That's a shaila about whether I should say Yovid Lo Mahani on Shochit B'Shabbos. That's what Rabbi Ganek discussed. So that's the first ha'ara that he made. Comments? Good. Next. Well, Rabbi Ganek mentioned that this idea that Minyan HaMitzvahs refers to just in Yonei HaTorah is why the Bahag could quote Dinim D'Rabbanan as part of Taryag Mitzvahs. Because a Din D'Rabbanan is an Inyan Shotaira. Right? That's why if I learn Maseches Megillah, I get Schar for Talmud Torah Min HaTorah. Why? It's not Bittul Torah in the level of Doraisa. Because there are certain Inyanim of Elokos, Inyanim of godliness that are described in Maseches Megillah. Dinim D'Rabbanan can also be Inyanim Shotaira. The next issue that Rabbi Ganek discussed is also in Yerideya Simon Aleph. We speak about that the Mechaber says, HaKol Shochtim even Noshen. The Ramah says that the Minog is that women don't Shecht. We never saw women Shecht. The Shach says that even though ordinarily Lo Re'inu is not a Raya, but if it's something that should happen every single day and you never saw it happen, so B'Kahai Gavna Lo Re'inu is a Raya. That's the first Shach in Yerideya. Now, what's the reason why women can't Shecht? This comes from a very strange source. It comes from Eldar Hadani, this mysterious figure, the halachos of Eretz Yisrael, halachos Amar Yehoshua, however you understand what the Aleph Yud stands for. But what's the reason why women shouldn't shecht? Some say it's because we're worried that they will faint at the sight of blood. I never understood why we're worried about women fainting at the sight of blood, not men. Women see blood a lot more than men do. So I don't know exactly the cheshbon over here, but apparently, right, some poskim assume that it's a concern, Shema Tis Ali. Other poskim say no. Rav Soloveitchik was inclined to this pshat, that the reason why women don't shecht is because it's considered srara. You see, you have to understand that the sheikhet was like the assistant rabbi. What's the raya? That it's a position of authority to shecht. It's like srara. Right, the Rambam says melech v'lo malka, that women came to have positions of authority. The raya is that to be a sheikhet, you need a kabbalah. Your Rebbe has to tell you that you're an approved shochet. You can't shecht without a Kabbalah. So much so, that if they say, it says in Shulchan Aruch, they make a cheirim that only a certain shechet is allowed to shecht, anyone else who shechts, his shechita is aser. Even though you know all the halachas of shechita, but the community makes a cheirim, only one guy can shecht, he's the only one who can make kosher animals. What's the pshat? The pshat is because it's a communal position to be a shechet. It's srara. And if the Rambam is correct, but Moshe is not sure in that tshuva, maybe other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, but assuming like the Rambam, that melech v'lo malka, some women can't occupy positions of srara. Based on this, based on this, we could say that the shochet really has responsibility to the community. The shochet is working for the community. It's a position of authority invested by the community in him. And part of the scandals in Shechita also come about when the shochet is not accountable to the community. He has to know his job. What are the psulim of Shechita? The psulim of Shechita are five. Shehiya drasa chalada hagraman ikor. Shehiya means a delay in the Shechita. If you stop at some point in the Shechita, that's considered Shehiya. How much do you have to stop to be considered Shehiya? So it depends on the type of animal. If I'm shechting a big behemoth, the amount of time it takes to get the big behemoth, turn it over and shecht it. If I stop in the middle of the Shechita that amount of time, it's no good. By behemoth daka, the amount of time it takes to take a behemoth daka, turn it over and shecht it. If I stop, the amount of time that whole procedure takes, Shehiya, passels. Now, what's interesting is by an oif, the Rambam also passes, and the Chavar passes this way as well, Simon Chav Gimel. By an oif, the shear is also the shear of a behemoth daka. Why is that? So the Rav said that the pshat is because the dinim of Shechita is based on Shechita's kachim. By kachim, yeshech behemoth gasis and behemoth dakas. There's no Shechita of ofis by kachim. By ofis, you have malika, not Shechita. Therefore, because there's no Shechita, so we have to use the shear of behemoth daka. This could be another way of looking at the machlokas, whether Shechita is a mitzvah or not. Question is, am I learning out from Shechita's kachim? The Ramban ala Torah in the pasuk vizavachta kasher tzivisicha. The Ramban says kasher tzivisicha means Shechita's kachim. That means that we're learning the halachos of Shechita's chulin from Shechita's kachim. The rashi says the brach on Shechita's chulin comes from Shechita's kachim. The basic idea is that we are applying Shechita's kachim to chulin, and that could be why it is a mitzvah. Now, what is the shear of Shehiyah? Right, we are machmir, Ashkenazim are machmir in Gansin, that the shear is a koshehu, and we are machmir even that Shehiyah b'miyot basra pasels. Right? Remember, you're supposed to shecht by a behema rove of two simon, by an oaf rove of one simon. If that last teeny bit I do with a shehia, it's going to be a psul. Right? Even the last teeny bit after I shechted rove. No, the last teeny bit of the simon. Still, it's going to be a psul. Why is that? Why is shehia b'mi a basar a problem? So first of all, you see that Shehiyah is a psul. It's not just a lack of hechsher. Fine. But nosaf al kach, you understand, says Rabbi Ganak B'Shem the Rav, that the din of rubo kekula really means that ideally you're supposed to shech the whole animal. The entire simon is nichlal in the heter. Therefore, if I mess up at any point, it's not the pshat that I already did my full shechita. No! B'diyevet, if you stop after Rav, you did a full shechita. But Kozman, you're shechting the whole thing, it's all nifl on the Shechita, and you can still passel the entire Shechita. What are other psalm of Shechita? That was Shehiya. Drasa. Drasa means that instead of shechting, pressure is what severs the animal's head. Pressure is what knocks off the simonim. Drasa is the big issue. You see, the Mechaber Paskins and Simon Vav, that if I have a knife that's stuck in the wall, and I, right, move the animal's neck back and forth. So if the animal is underneath the knife, it's okay. If the animal's on top of the knife, so that's a concern of drasa. The Shach says, based on this, even if you're holding the knife, even if the knife is not stuck in the wall, you're holding the knife, and the animal's on top of the knife, it's a concern for drasa. This is why in agriprocessors, they shecht in the type of pen that's called a rotary pen. The rotary pen is to be yotzei the shach that you're supposed to shecht only ishkita munachas, when the animal is down. Because, l'chatchila, you're never allowed to shecht up because of the concern of drasa. Now, the pashtus is, Rabbi Ganek said, that this is the incorrect pshat in the shach. Although this is the pshat that the Darkei Tshuva quotes from a Sefer Birkas HaZevach or something, but the fact is, this is the incorrect pshat in the Shach. Because the the Rav understood, and the Prima Gadim says this, and the Moshe says this in the Truvim Chilak Beis Simen Yud Gimel, that when the Shach says that Lechatzchila I'm not allowed Shecht going up, that's talking about a situation when I am holding the knife stationary and I'm moving the animal. But if I'm moving the knife, it's going to be kosher even Lechatzchila according to the Shach. Reb Moshe, based on this, was make on the Tshuvah Rav Hirschsprung about the shackling and hoisting. The animal comes down the conveyor belt, you shacht going up. Rabbi Ganak feels this would be a major tikkun in the Shechita if they would use the standing up pen, the ASPCA pen that the Rav invented in 1958. People didn't know the Rav was an inventor of pens, but the basic idea is that, first of all, you would solve in terms of efficiency. You don't have to spend the time of turning it over. Second of all, right, there's no problem halakhically. First of all, the animal's head is tight, is tied up. Second, which Reb Moshe adds is a sniff lahakel. Second of all, if you're moving the knife, it should be kosher lachatchila. And then you won't have the issues with pita. Because the concern is that when the pen is turned over, in the rotary pen, so you have to turn the pen back over. As you're turning the pen back over, that's when you have these crazy pictures of the animal running away after it's geschachten. If the pen is standing up the whole time, that's not going to happen. So we could solve all the animal rights issues that way. Now there's another issue that came up, which is that when you shech downward, right, anytime you shecht, you want to cut the veridim, which are these arteries that go to the brain. That will desensitize the animal. You want to cut the veridim? In agriprocessors, in order to cut the veridim, sometimes they made a second cut. That was a serious concern of Tzav al-Chayim. That's a separate issue that came up. That's a separate issue. L'chora, though, if they would do it with the standing up shechita, apparently it would be easier to just cut the veridim right away with that one cut than when you're moving down. That would see us, I'm not sure why. And that would solve the problems. That would solve the problems. So far we did two psulim shechita. We did shehiya and shrasa. The other psulim are chalada, hagrama, and ikor. Chalada is if the knife is wrapped up with something. Hagrama is if you shecht shelo b'makom shechita. And ikor. What's ikor? So ikor, there's a machlokes and taisus and daf tes and chulin, where the ikor means a sakin with a pegima, which is a concern that it's ripping the simen rather than cutting, right? Or ikor means that you pull the simonim out of the makom and then you shecht it. There's actually a third shot. If you look in the taisus, that begin I want to mention too. Now, according to the Deya, that ikor means you move the simonim out of place and then you shecht. So what's the problem with a sakin peguma? So you have to say a different lomdus. You have to say that the lomdus of a sakin peguma is that it's not shechita at all. Shechita means cutting. Tearing is not cutting. So basically we have a machlekes, whether ikor means sakin peguma, whether sakin peguma is not shechita. So there's a machlekes about whether sakin peguma is it a psul in shechita, or is sakin peguma not a shechita at all. L'may nafkamina. Nafgamina might be if I have a second peguma by miyat basra. If the pshad is that it's not a shechita at all, by miyat basra, then I don't need a shechita. But if the pshad is that it is a shechita, but it's a shechita psula, so like we saw by shehiya, which is a shechita psula, that could be a problem. By miyat basra, here also it could be a problem by miyat basra. Okay, I think this takes us to the end of Rabbi Ganak's shir, and I wish you all hatzlacha on the exam.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.